telling you what, release your faith in the word spoken. Say, that's for me. What is it that you need God from God here tonight? That's for me. What is it that you're going through? What answers do you need? Release your faith in the word of God, and that's when it'll start working for you. Believe what he says. It's coming before the Heavenly Father and says, as much as you are God, is your word. And because I hear these words and the promise of your holy written word in your Bible, I'm going to believe you on that. And I'm not going to do the heavy lifting you are. You've done the heavy lifting through Jesus Christ. This is how you orchestrated all this to come to pass here on this earth. I say I'm well able. I'm well able to inherit all the promises that you've given to me through your son, Jesus Christ. You staked your son on that to die so that I could be sound in mind, I could live in joy, that I can live in peace and be restful, that I can live in abundance, that I could live in peace and be established here on those earth. What is it that you need from God? I'm telling you, there's a promise and those things have been already established. So I'm going to rest and take comfort in the fact that Jesus Christ paid the price that I can walk in victory. Well, what are you going through? You don't want to know what I'm going through. I don't want to know what you're going through, because everybody out there has got a testimony right now saying how doom and gloom everything is and how this world's going to hell in a handbag and the economy's biting here and the gas prices. Hey, you guys are under $4 here in Erie. It's $4.35 up there in Jamestown where I come from. So you guys got oh, man, look out. That's a tremendous savings. But I'm telling you what, the press of this world gives everybody a testimony. What are you going to say in the midst of it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You got a problem with that? Take that up with him. He's the one that said it. I'm resting. Man, you don't look like you're doing so good. Things have been happening. I've been seeing the chaos and things that have been happening in the church world and everything else, and people are falling and people are going out. This church is closing out. I don't know about you, man. I'm resting. I don't have time to bite my nails every single night, putting myself to sleep, wondering how the next day is going to be. God, this is your problem. I'm casting this on you. We're going to talk about some things tonight. I'm trusting, man. Be helped by the word. This is my help. Just allow me to preach to myself here tonight. Praise the Lord. If you're new here, I'm not yelling at you. You know, at camp, it was funny because we just had the summer camp up there at Mission Meadows. Then the kids, they're like, hey, Pastor Brad's ministering tonight. I ministered the one night. They're like, which one's Pastor Brad? He's the loud one. That's how I'm known. Not known for the word, not known for preaching. Not known for not having hair. He's saying, he's the loud one. So in other words, hey, if the power goes off, I don't need a microphone. Y'all hear me just fine. I'll just keep yelling from the rooftops. You know what I mean? So praise the Lord. It's funny. I'll be on the telephone, and I'll be talking to someone. I'm like excited. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My wife's like, why are you yelling? I'm not yelling. I'm just talking on the phone. But that's the way I talk. It's real loud. So praise the Lord. Amen. I try to tame myself. But when it comes to preaching the word, you know what? Sometimes you need to get loud. Well, that's not my personality. Well, I never asked if it was your personality. You need to put the word of God in your mouth, and you need to start saying some things that everybody and everything hears you. Amen. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and he says, cursed are you, you know, dry up from the roots. They went by the next day, and the disciples were dumbfounded. They're like, man, it really happened what you said. He says, have faith in God. Whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in your heart. Believe those things you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever he says. He spoke to things. Why? Because it was a representation of lack. You need to start speaking to whatever is lacking in your life. What is it that you need? What is it that you're going through? I'm telling you, get the word of God and put it on your mouth. Because if you're not going to be patriarch, or is that even the right word, or dignitary or whatever of your own future and your own life, who's going to say it? I'm not coming over to your house to start speaking to your stuff. I don't know half of what you're, if I hook up my faith with you, I will. You know, if I know what you're going through, I can release my faith and pray and stuff like that. I don't know what everybody's going through on a daily basis. So you need to take your position and your authority right there in your realm of influence, and you need to start saying something. You need to start speaking so everybody can hear you. Well, I'm just quiet and reserved. The devil ain't, and he's going to eat your lunch. He's going to take, what does he do? He steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. You need to get all up in his grill, and you need to start proclaiming the word of God, because that will be the final authority that is backed by heaven itself, the word of God. You need to take and arm yourself. What's the word? The sword of the Spirit. And you need to start swinging that thing. Well, nothing's changed in my life. Well, what have you been saying? I haven't been saying anything. Well, there you go. Nothing's happened. You're saying nothing. Nothing's happened. So, you know, the word is the word. Praise the Lord. So, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I had some things on my heart, so I want to go ahead and get these things out. And I just trust it'll be a good help to you. It is to me. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I know you guys camp out in Deuteronomy all the time. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy is part of the Pentateuch. You know, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Amen for all you scholars. I'm not really a scholar, but sometimes I try to sound smart, like I know a few things. You know what I mean? So just to keep your attention, because some of you guys are new here and you're like, who's this guy up here yelling at everybody? So, hey, come back and hear Pastor Tim. He'll be back and you'll want to meet him. Praise the Lord. But in verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Oh, man. Let's stop right there. I don't know about you, but if someone's writing a book about me, I don't want them to say, I call heaven and earth against you, or saying against you. In other words, we got some beef here that we need to kind of clear up here. And it says that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Verse 20 says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and thy length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So he's talking about, you know, that covenant relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he addresses them. He's like, heaven and earth's got something against you here. And he says, I've set before you blessing and cursing. And in case you all are so dense that you didn't know, he's telling them, choose life. Choose life. In other words, this. He's approaching the people to say, choose this. In other words, they didn't have to choose that. They were in a position possibly not to choose that. So he's like, we got something against you here, because life and death are in the balance. And I'm concerned that you're going to make the wrong decision. You're going to have to choose life so that you and your descendants may live, to obey, to love the Lord your God. So it'll be well with you as it was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's interesting, because I want to talk about that word choose. That word choose, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it means to select. Okay, you put a couple things down there. Choose which you like. Isn't it? Reminds me of like a old movie or something. Choose. Like all these things, like The Temptation, or like an Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade or something. Like, choose with all the cups. Maybe it's just me. Okay, all right. So it means to select, to accept. Now that takes on a different term, because you've accepted some things. And he's saying to choose life, that you wouldn't accept something other than the life. To join, and I like this word, require. Require. In other words, he's saying require life. Wow, that almost means like a dependency, or I need this. I'm required to do this. I'm requiring this in my life. To require, to choose life, require life. Require that is a part of who you are in your makeup. And also it means to be instead of. So in other words, I'm taking life instead of death. I'm taking the blessing instead of cursing. But note that these people were in a position where they could have chose curse. They could have chose death. That heaven and earth had to testify against them to say, choose life. What are you... In a sense, it's like, duh, this is a no-brainer. Like, but they were in a position to choose something contrary to God. That I can bring you into that place of blessing, that I can bring the long life and number to your days as I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, I've made a covenant with your ancestors, and I'm fretful, not that God's fretful, but concerned rather that you're going to choose something other than what I've made covenant with your forefathers. I'm concerned that you're going to accept something less than the blessing that I have for you. I'm concerned that through your course of action and living that have brought you to this place, that you've forgotten the life and the blessing that I've called you to, so you're going to go a different way. So he had to approach them and saying, hey, I'm on an assignment from heaven. Choose life. Dear Lord, require life. How many of us, through circumstance, through our daily living, through calamity, maybe you're just newly saved. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe this is your first time to church. Maybe you've gone through a tremendous, terrible, horrific past and you don't know anything better. I'm telling you, he's got blessing. But it's your responsibility to choose that. Each one of us here tonight on a Saturday, paddling our boats down Peach Street, to get here, you had to choose to get here. It was a decision on your part that put you present here tonight. You didn't have to do that. So my daughter, she's 8 years old. And so we were at home outside. And praise God, I love this time of year because we're getting in, and I love summer. I'm not rushing through, summer, but I do like fall. I like the harvest season. I like to be outdoors. I'm a woodsman. I like all that kind of stuff. So the grass is growing right now, and I put some food plots in up on my in-laws' property to feed the deer just because I like to look at them. You know what I mean? Okay. So praise the Lord. So, but I like the rain, and this is a good growing time right now for that. So, hey, the lawn needed mowed. It was getting bushy, and I had to bust out the lawnmower. So, Amelia, my daughter, wanted me to go on the trampoline or do something, which is okay. That's a feat right there. I'm not getting any younger, but I can still handle my own on the trampoline. I'll tell you. But anyway, so she says, "Hey, Dad, why don't you, come on the trampoline with me?" And I said, "I can't. I have to mow the lawn." And she said, "You don't have to mow the lawn." That was pretty good for an 8-year-old. But it spoke to me because she's like, "You don't have to mow the lawn. The lawn may need mowed, but you don't have to mow the lawn." Yeah. And I don't have to have it up to my knees either, the grass, because I didn't. So I told her, I'm like, "I choose to mow the lawn. I've made a choice. I've set it in my mind. I've set my actions and my motions based on a decision of choosing to mow the lawn." So when an alternative came to me to suggest otherwise, I'm sorry, I have to mow the lawn. This is my time allotted to do this. And I play with my kids and afterwards and stuff like that, but I had a window that I needed to do. It's like, "Whoa, man, you kicked your daughter to the curb?" No, I love on my kids, but I'm just saying. It spoke to me volume. She says, "Well, you don't have to mow the lawn." And she was right. I didn't have to do it, but I chose to do that. And, it's interesting enough, and that earlier in that day, my wife, and I know a lot of you probably haven't met my wife, Stephanie, blessing, full of wisdom, wonderful woman of God. And I can sit back and listen to her, and I'm like, oh, man, the wisdom and stuff that comes from her. But she has a testimony, and I'm believing someday that she'll tell that testimony. When we were, this was a number of years ago, actually, when the children were being born, she dealt with some things that were seriously life and death. And you know what she said that day up until this point would just let God be God, you know what I mean? She's like, "I had to choose." When you choose, that sets the course of motion for your direction in which you're walking. That's why he says, choose life. Choose it. You don't have to choose health and healing. You don't have to choose peace. You don't have to choose a sound mind. You don't have to choose the abundant life. You don't have to choose those things. He's saying, choose. Yes. So oftentimes, Christians, they don't choose. They've accepted what's been handed to them. They never went in the Word of God to say, you know what? I choose life. I choose the path that's been provided through Jesus Christ on the cross. I choose to be above and not beneath. I choose to be the head and not the tail. I choose to be victorious through Christ who strengthens me. I choose these things because everything else is saying contrary and telling me contrary to that in this world. As it was doing them, he says, choose life, choose the blessing. We're all in a position that we have to choose. And I want to expound a little bit on this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over there to Luke chapter 10, because I want to show you a few things about choosing and making the right choice. Things that would try to thwart our decision in making the right choice. A lot of you maybe have heard about the parable about Mary and Martha. I'm telling you what, it's rich. And let's get it. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, I want to read it to you. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So here they are. Jesus is over in their house. A lot of people freak out mode right now. Jesus needs to come up into your house, good, bad, or ugly. You know what I mean? You know, Pastor Michael, our founding pastor, I love how he said they used to have the junk room. Uh-oh, so-and-so, there's a knock at the door, quick. Dogs, refrigerators, whatever needs to be thrown in that room to get it out of sight and mind because company showed up. You know what I mean? Pull the drawers out, scrape off the counter into the drawers, shut the drawers. You know, we all have our stuff. Some of you guys are probably, you could teach me a lesson because I need brushed up in that and stuff. But here they are. Jesus shows up at their house. And so Martha is like, "Dear Lord, Jesus is here. Like, let's go. Is everything neat? Is there food prepared? Is there water? Is there this? What?" You know, you think the Son of God has showed up in your house. You're going to want to set a good example. So she is freaking out of her head about, oh my goodness, the Son of God's here. And so finally she's to the point because Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him, and finally she's like, "Oh, Jesus is here." And she's like, "Jesus, tell her to serve. Like, what's going on?" There's an order, especially in that culture right there at that particular time, the women of the house to keep things in order and the servitude and stuff like that. What is she doing? She's sitting there like a bump on a log. He says, "Martha, Martha, you've been encumbered and troubled by many things." But he said, "Mary has chosen the good part." Serving is a part, but there's also a good part. Serving, fantastic. You guys are serving here tonight, serving, ministering, serving by being here, bringing a supply. That's serving the Lord. Appreciate that. That is a part. But then there's a good part. Apart from, and I'm not saying serving is not connected to ministry and different things like that, there has to be the part of coming before your Heavenly Father and choosing Him first and foremost above all other things. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and anxious about many things." And the reason that you're careful and anxious about many things is because you've been lacking the good part. He said in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, And Mary has chosen that good part. He's speaking to Martha. One thing is needful. In other words, you're serving. You're doing good. You're getting things in order. You're all this, that, and the other thing. And I look at you and I see needful or full of need. Hey, I'm going to church on Saturday. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm serving in church. I go to special meetings. I bring my tithe and my offering. And you can still be full of need. There's something that is needful. She's chosen the good part. I don't see that in you. You have to choose the good part. Lest the weight of responsibility and maintenance of the kingdom pulls you away from the Heavenly Father. I'm doing everything right. I went 4 hours without swearing. I didn't punch anybody out last week. I'm doing pretty good. One thing is still needed, and she has chosen it. I choose to go before my Heavenly Father. Otherwise, the cares, the anxieties, the worries could be attached to that which is doing good. I'm running around like a madman trying to get everything prepared for Jesus. Just come and choose the good part first. Because otherwise, anxiety, cares, and worries, even in doing that which is right, can outweigh the good part. So he told her, she's chosen the good part. You have not. And the cares that come along that with are crushing you. I like what it says over there in Romans chapter 4. You remember Abraham. And I want to just elaborate a little bit on this, because what you put your focus on determines your movement. And you remember Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord appeared to him and told him he was going to have Isaac. Well, he didn't have Isaac till he was 100 years old. And it says in verse 19, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." It said that he considered not those things because he was connected to the promise. Can you imagine being 100 years old, your wife is 90, and you're going to have a kid? There's a lot to consider with that. Circumstance demands you to consider that. He was Abram, became Abraham, meaning Abraham, the father of many nations. Until he changed his name and started confessing those things, he chose to be Abram. To the point when he considered not his own body. In other words, when you consider something, you're considering something to make a decision and a choice. Are you going to believe God or not? Are you going to believe God that his word is true and that he's going to birth a child through you and your wife? Are you going to believe that or not? Decision time is in the balance. And what he considered says, I consider not my own body. In other words, I'm not going to put my attention in my body because I know naturally what will happen. We are not having a kid. Not at 100 years old, not a wife 10 years younger at 90 years old. We're not having a kid. But it says that he considered not. In other words, he chose to take his mind and his attention on what he was thinking and consider not his own body. He considered not the natural, and he chose the word of the Lord. Every time circumstances come and you're in the balance of decision, are you going to accept the life and the blessing, or are you going to accept the defeat and the curse, the death and the curse? You are in a position to make that decision. You have to forcefully put yourself to choose the good part of coming before your Heavenly Father and saying, Father, you and me, whatever your word says, I'm choosing this. I'm not choosing to be frantically running and pacing through this life, one trial and tribulation after another to the next. I'm choosing to come before my Heavenly Father and take you at your word. You have to make that decision, because everything in this world is trying to infringe for your attention, to get your distraction. How do you know? I'm not Amish. Amen. I got one of these too. There's my daughter. Praise the Lord. She's the one that started this message. Amen. But that's what it is. There's such a distraction and a tendency to consider other things other than making the right choice. And it says that Abraham considered not his own body, yet being dead, amen, his body was past its prime, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, and says, we've made a decision here, and we're going to choose the word of the Lord. And so we're going to align ourselves into that rest that he has for us so that I'm not pulling my hair out wondering how God's going to do it. That's his part. That's his responsibility. We're going to cast those cares onto him. And I want to share a little bit about that. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, another good passage I want to share and bring some things out. Because where your attention goes determines where you go. And if you're focused on circumstance, I'll tell you what, the devil has numerous opportunities to disobey God. He's got numerous other avenues that you could pursue that are less than God's highest and best. And I'm telling you, we need to choose God. We need to choose the good part to go before our Heavenly Father to get our direction, to get our counsel, that we can move forward in his plan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, listen to this. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yeah, our outward man is perishing. I don't look the same way I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I got a big birthday coming up this year. Praise the Lord. I won't elaborate, but 30 is a big number. So praise God. Man, that was a little too eccentric in some of those laughs. I don't know. All right. Praise God. All right. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, what is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I like that. Our momentary, our light affliction, they're just light. What are they trying to get you to do? Choose something different. They're light, but they make, oh my goodness, like Martha, oh my gosh, serve. What are you doing? You got to serve. She's chosen the good part. Why are you trying to take that from her? I'm looking at you and I'm seeing problems. You're needful of some things. You need to get that care and anxiety and worry under control, and you need to sit at my feet for a while so that we can work on this. You trying to take that in your own hands is going to lead to a greater problem because it's not in my hands. It goes on to say in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The thing that's so like taboo to say some of those things. It's like, well, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. That's right. That's right. They exactly are. When it says that they're temporal, it means they're subject to change. They're temporal. We look not at those things. We look through the eye of faith unto the eternal Heavenly Father, get his plan and purpose, and we make these temporal things line up to what he says. So Abraham considered not his own body being dead. He considered and chose the word of the Lord that he was going to have a son. Everything else will have to change, because I'm basing my attention and focus on what he said, that I will have an Isaac. So there's my focus. Everything else I consider to be temporal. It's going to have to change. That's not on me. That's on him. How they change, if they change in 5 minutes, if they change in 2 weeks, I'm just going to keep releasing my faith, pressing into God till I see that thing change. And it says the things which are not seen are eternal. Those are the things that are established in the spirit realm that God has established from before the foundations of the world on our behalf. Those are the eternal things. This realm will submit and bow to the eternal things in the word of God. Well, how do you know that? You remember Jesus in the boat with the disciples. Let's go on to the other side. It says a hurricane proportion storm, a lot bigger and badder than this thing that just went through, so that the boat was filling with water. And the disciples were freaking out. Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? So he gets up. He rebukes the wind, says, peace, be still. He turns to the disciples. He says, how is it you have no faith? Another translation says, where's your faith? I told you we were going to the other side, but because you were looking at the temporal changing things and not the eternal things, I had to deal with that when you should have been dealing with that. But because you are the educated fishermen and know better, it trumped through your experience the word of God so that I had to adjust it. I was expecting something out of you. Disciples would be like, someone woke up on the wrong side of the boat through Jesus addressing that. You know, it was interesting. Jesus, you know, when he cast out that the demons out of that demoniac, that boy, the disciples couldn't do it. He says he's come by prayer and fasting, in other words, spending time before the Heavenly Father, praying time for more of God on the inside of you. It's not the work of fasting that casts out a devil. God doesn't change because you fast. You change because you fast. Your faith changes because you fast. Don't let someone, you know, and I know we're well taught here, don't think that, yeah, my first 21-day fast or my first 40-day fast and people are sick and in the hospital because the Lord never called them to do that. They're trying to strong-arm God through their works of, you know, the natural works and by the flesh, thinking that God's going to change. No, you're fasting and you should fast. Fasting changes you, makes you more sensitive to God, makes your body, puts your flesh under. And it's not because that changes God. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It changes you so that you can more accurately adapt to what he's saying and what he's doing, and you act on that. So where was I with all this? Okay, so the demoniac, thanks for giving me that, Holy Ghost. So this demoniac, you know what Jesus told the disciples? He says, how long shall I be with you? Faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? That's a good question, because his ministry was 3 years. In other words, there's a day when my time with you is going to elapse, and I'm expecting you to bring heaven into this earth through the sacrifice Jesus saying that I will have to do. How long will I be with you? You need to master these things, because there's a day when I won't be here. The Holy Ghost will be here, and you're going to have to be skillful in how you handle the devil. He says, how long am I going to be with you? So that's just food for thought, but praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, you know, Jesus with the disciples on the boat, he expected faith out of them. He expected a developing through being with the Son of God, that they knew how to handle themselves appropriately. And it's the same thing with us. We need to be skillful in handling the Word of God and the promises of God. And we can't let the distractions take more weight and emphasis to focus our gaze on those things more than the Word of God. That comes through meditation. That comes through getting the Bible. This is much for me. Hey, I work long hours. I'm not a full-time pastor or anything where I can just pray and read the Bible all day and, you know, go off on some glory cloud someplace. I got young kids at home. I work, you know, first thing in the morning till sometimes 6 o'clock at night, which, you know, whatever. We all deal with stuff. Come home, I got family that I got to deal with, responsibilities. I got to make a decision that I've got to choose the good part. And I can't let whatever I've gone through in that day impact my family and impact myself. I need to make some changes that I keep myself in his presence and in his word. Otherwise, you know what? You're going to find me in a gutter someplace. Don't think because I'm up here ministering the word that I don't come under, you know, temptation and attack and beatings and different things. I assure you, as a minister, I'll tell you, through this, even this past week, you know, there's certain things where it was just like, dear Lord, like, where's this bombardment coming from? And, you know, sometimes when I get up to minister and stuff, I can tell there's, you know, some attacks that come along with that. But there's no exception to the rule. Don't think that, like, you know, the next Billy Graham and, you know, some of these popular ministers and stuff that have these mega churches, I'm telling you, they undergo bombardment. Why? Because they're trying to be distracted to the point of getting them off the Word of God and resting. And so that's exactly what it is. When Jesus, the first thing he did when he stood up and he rebuked that storm, peace, peace, be still. In other words, I'm not going to tolerate this mess, because look at the state of my people. Look at the state of my disciples. They're ripping all their hair out. They're wondering, we're going to die. Cares now or not, we're going to perish. Hey, God, don't you care that I'm going under? Don't you care that my bank account's on zero? Don't you care that there's no gas in the vehicle? There's no food in the fridge? Don't you care about all these things? Peace. Be still. Work with me. Jesus said, come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm not a radical slave taskmaster trying to, you know, put something on you to teach you a lesson. Don't let this world and, you know, whatever's being spread in the false doctrine that God's knocking you down to build you back up so he can show himself strong. You do that to your kids? Come here, girl, let me take your feet out from under you so I can teach you how to be strong and tough. Yeah, that makes me a good parent. You think God's at least as good as me? He doesn't knock people down to teach them a lesson. The Bible says that he doesn't tempt any man. So, you know, we in this world, you'll have trials, tribulations, troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. In this world, you live in this world, you suck air on this planet, you're going to go through stuff. Why? Because we're occupying this until he returns. Our home, our homeland is heaven. We're an occupying people in body, sent on behalf of heaven to establish heaven here on earth through the authority that Jesus provided. Why do you think he came to earth? So that he could kick the devil's rear and give you that authority so now you can kick the devil's rear. You don't do anything about it, don't be surprised when that all goes down. You know what I mean? He's given us that position to choose the good part in him. How do you do that? I like what it says over 1 Peter chapter 5. I love these verses. I've ministered on them a number of times. But this is so pertinent to what we're dealing with in this day and time. 1 Peter chapter 5. Right there in verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he would exalt you in due time. How do you do that? How do you humble yourself? Do you, you know, put on sackcloth and ashes? Do you, you know, bow low as you can go? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Don't tell me to do that. How do you humble yourself? You cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. I like what the Amplified says in verse 7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Man, I love that. Because it says that he cares for you affectionately. In other words, he's moved with compassion. He's moved with a longing to make himself close to you, to go on your behalf. And watchfully, in other words, like the prodigal son when he came home, the father, it said it saw him a ways off and saw him coming, and he ran to him. He grabbed, get the fatted calf, get my robe, get my ring. He said, my son was gone. He was dead, and now he's alive. He was gone, he's back. He was sat there and saw him a ways off. He was watching, watchfully, waiting for you to cast your cares on him. In other words, you're going to have the cares that you carry. He says, cast it all on me. Throw it all on me. And if you have it, he doesn't have it. Casting all your cares once and for all. You cast it on him, all of a sudden, bam, there it is right back. Cast it on him. I don't start speaking the scripture on it. Bam, it's right back in your face. My God shall supply all my needs. You throw it out there. Thank you, Father, you supply all my needs. Dear Lord, an unexpected bill came. I got it on him. You cast it on him once for all, for he's affectionate and careful to watch after that. It says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. How do you humble yourself? Because you realize that through your awesomeness and your knowledge and your experience that you can't handle it on your own. Because we're self-preservers, and if we can do something by the arm of the flesh, we will do it. Hey, whatever I got to do, I'll do it. I'll wake up early if I have to. I'll exercise. I'll diet. I'll do. Hey, those are all good. We don't frustrate the grace of God. But there comes the point where it's like, I'm humbling to say, you know what? I'm admitting that I can't do this. That's humbling for me because, especially myself, well, you know, I'm the head of the household and I don't know what to do. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to cast it before the Lord. Let him work on it. And if you got it in your hands, he doesn't have it in his hands. Pastor said, I know last week in the Jamestown service, he was talking about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. You know, it talks about, closed with a compass of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every sin and weight. You know, Martha was full of weights. She had a lot of cares, concerns. The good part is going before your Heavenly Father and saying, you know what? I know I'm jacked up. I know I don't have the answers. I know I got problems. You'll have to excuse me for being raw. I'm not an educated person by any means. But it hits home. Coming before him saying, man, I know I don't have a clue. I'm going to have to lay this before you. if there's anything I'm going to choose, I'm not going to choose more works of the flesh to try to manifest this thing. I'm going to humble myself and say, Father, you know what? You're going to have to do this. I'm going to submit it to you. I'm going to lay it down at your feet, and I'm going to find my position right here at your feet. You have to choose to do those things. All the distractions out there are trying to keep you from choosing the good part. And I'm not saying that all technology is bad and stuff, but people are being so numbed from the voice of the Lord because everything they can do. What is it you need? I got it. Amazon, we got that. What do you want to eat? I got it. All these things concerning health. I got it. I got it. I got it. Chat, GPT. Hey, what does this mean? I got this rash on my body. What does that do? What does that mean? What's the life expectancy if I had a cough last week? We do that. Humble yourself. Saying, Father, I'm coming before you, and I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to submit and humble myself and cast these concerns on you once and for all. Put it in your hands so you can work it. I like Pastor Nancy Dufresne. She was talking, you know, and it's so true, like with kids. And she when she was young, she went to a fair and she got a necklace, and it was cheap gold. And, you know, as a kid having one of those things, that thing gets more knots in it and all sorts of messed up. And so her mom's like, if you give it to me, I'll fix it for you. Because she's pulling on it, the knots are getting tighter and all that other stuff. If you put it in my hand, I'll fix it for you. So she starts getting a pin, and she goes in and she starts digging in there and she starts separating. And it gets just about to almost done. Give me, I see it. You know, when kids are like that, if you're building something for them, they'll see something. Oh, yeah, I got it, I got it. And it's like, let me finish this thing. I'm enjoying this as much as you are. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, get off me, like, dear Lord. And you know, kids, it just, as a parent, it just like, but they want to get it because they can see the fulfillment of that. And they take it back in their hands, and it's like, oh, man, knots again. If you put it in my hands and leave it in my hands, I will fix this and make this right. But if you have it in your hands, I don't have it in my hands, and I cannot fix it for you. And it's the same thing. When you have it in your hands, fear, anxiety, cares, worry how we're going to meet ends meet, all these things, hey, cast it. My God cares for me. Cast those things on him. I'm choosing the good part. If I'm going to exhaust any energy, it's going to put the flesh down and get in his presence. If you want to apply any effort, people work more. Hey, you be led. People will work more work hours. People will pick up a second job. People will do all these things before they would go to the Heavenly Father to get his counsel and get his, hey, that's just a natural, hey, I'll wake up earlier and I can get this done and I can make a couple bucks before I go start my normal job. And then, you know, on my days off, I'll do this and I'll do that. And hey, be led. I'm not saying not do those things, not at the expense of your Heavenly Father. You bring that before him. If you're going to exhaust any energy, you claw, you crawl, you dive into his presence. You exhaust that energy seeking him and pressing into him. Oh, man. Let me preach to myself. Let me preach to myself. Amen. I don't know if you were helped here tonight, but praise the Lord. The word of God is good, and we're not meant to carry those things. We choose the good part. We choose him before any other thing. All this other stuff should be in the fray. It's just cares to try to distract us from getting what's good and what's ours. Amen. We're not going to be occupied with those things. We're going to get our Heavenly Father. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you that just